Victor, so much. What a privilege it is to be with you folks today. My wife and I have had the opportunity to be in vocational ministry for 47 years. And in January of 2021, God led us a different direction in our lives. We were serving in Battle Creek, had served there for 10 years. Before that, I was in Rochester, Michigan for 20 years. And now we are ministering in Clarkston, which is again southeast Michigan. And I say ministering there because we all have ministry. I use the term vocational ministry, not full-time ministry, because if you know Jesus Christ as personal Savior, you are a full-time minister. There are no part-timers as far as Christ is concerned. I just had the privilege of doing it vocationally. My wife is not with me today. I will introduce her to you in just a moment. She has respiratory issues and been around kids and grandkids this past week or so, and she has the crud. So pray for her that she will recover from the crud. Take your Bibles this morning, please, and turn to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 3. I will be reading out of the ESV this morning. I will probably be quoting out of the King James, because that's when what I learned as a little kid. And I'm just so thankful for God's word, that it is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, and that it works in our lives, whatever the translation. What's in a name? Have you thought about that? What's in a name? I'm going to get to this in a minute. Are we set up there, Pastor Adam? I think I'm going to communion service all of a sudden. We'll get it here. A name identifies an individual. It identifies a noun, a person, place, or thing. Sometimes it identifies a geographical location. We're in East Lansing. I live in Waterford. Sometimes it identifies an event. We go to the circus, or we go snowmobiling, or whatever it is. What's in a name? Where are we at, Pastor Adam? Is this not working? And if it's not, we're okay. It worked earlier. Isn't technology wonderful? All right, when in doubt, reboot. There we go. This is my core family. My wife, Connie, there in the middle. My oldest daughter, Jill, on the right side. My youngest daughter, Jennifer, down at her feet. Josh, anyway. Have you thought about names? Thomas, twin, Didymus. It also means seeker of truth. Connie. Constance, she hates that. But her name means consistent, unwavering. Jill, my daughter down here, youthful. She likes that the older she gets. Jennifer. Jennifer means fair, trusting. And you know Joshua, right? Joshua, God is my salvation, bringer of truth. But what's in a name? Over the next 3 weeks, we are going to study that subject. And this week, we are going to look at the name church. You could all probably give me a definition of church, but we are going to look at that in some detail from God's word, and I trust that it helps us understand not only where we are, but who we are. Here's your take-home truth. If you forget everything else, remember this. The church belongs to Jesus. All right? That's your take-home truth. The church belongs to Jesus. It's not your church. It's not my church. It's the church of Jesus Christ. Next week, we're going to look at the name saints. I'll use this introduction next week, but some time ago, I was with a gal, and she said, Tom, does your church believe in saints? Interesting question. We're going to answer that next week. And then the third word, We're going to look at special servants of the saints. We're going to look at the words pastor and deacon. What are they? Who are they? What are they supposed to be doing? So that's kind of where we're headed in the next 3 weeks. So what's in the name? What is a church? Let me give you a theological definition, first of all. A church is an organized assembly of baptized followers of Jesus, called together by him to worship God, celebrate the ordinances, and to hear and grow in God's word as living testimonies. That is a church. A church is an organized assembly of baptized believers, followers of Jesus. That's critical. Understand that today, please. That as a church, the one we follow is Jesus Christ. He is the head of the church. This body of believers consists of followers of Jesus. It consists of baptized followers of Jesus. Those who have publicly identified with Christ. Baptism is a public profession of an inward possession. You receive Jesus Christ as personal Savior because you know you're a sinner. You know Christ died for your sins according to the Scriptures. That he was buried and rose again according to the Scriptures. That's the gospel, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And it's not how bad you are, it's how good you're not. For there is none good, no, not one. And so on the continuum, you may be a real bad sinner. Okay, you may be a real good sinner. But none of us is perfect, right? And the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. To be saved, you believe that truth. To be identified, you follow the Lord in obedience to believers' baptism, where we are picture, where we have a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. When you go underneath the water, that's a picture of his death. When you come out out of the water, and by the way, in all of the baptisms I've ever performed, I've always brought them up. I've had some parents try to pay me to keep them under for a while. But that's a picture of the resurrection of Christ and the acknowledgement and dedication that we are here to live a new life in Christ. And what do? We worship God. We celebrate the ordinances. We're going to do that this morning as we celebrate communion. And we hear and grow in God's word as testimonies to what God has done in our lives. Victor, I appreciated your prayer this morning as you prayed that we would be a witness to those around us. God has placed me in a subdivision. I had not intended to move to a subdivision. But on one side of me is my neighbor Mike. Mike is a great neighbor, but he is biblically illiterate. He came to me one day and he said, "Tom, do they make a Bible for dummies?" So Connie and I got him a Bible storybook. And he and his wife, Carrie, have been going through that. On the other side of me are Robin and Musa. Musa's Muslim. Robin does not make a good Muslim wife. She's pretty strong-willed. But I'm talking to Musa. And I said, "Musa, do you know that your name is in the Bible?" "Name's in the Bible?" I said, "Yeah, it's the name Moses." And we need to talk about how God called Moses to follow him. And so we're having these conversations. That's our testimony, right? As we recognize what God has done in our lives and what he is doing in our lives. So what's in a name as we reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ? What's in a name? As you look in the Bible, there are a number of names for the church. There is the body of Christ. There's the bride of Christ, fellowship of believers, God's people, family in heaven, God's building, household of God, family of God. And the word itself is ecclesia. It means called out ones or assembled ones. Now, the word ecclesia can mean those who are assembled for a purpose. Like a town council. But in our context, it's the purpose for being the church of God, the church of Jesus Christ. Now, if you want the history for the church, you go into the book of Acts. And there you discover how God formed his church. And if you look at it, you understand that Peter and John were called to the Jews. Peter and John were called to the Jews, and they gave testimony to the Jews. And then Peter, in Acts chapter 10, went out to the Gentiles. And as you go down through history, you eventually come up with this church. Calvary Baptist Church, Lansing, Michigan. Have you thought about Calvary Baptist Church recently? Well, if you look at this name, you find out that it is a Baptist church. It has a certain denominational, doctrinal distinctive. And you have been taught well, and I'm sure that you all could give me the Baptist distinctives, right? We make a little acrostic, B-A-P-T-I-S-T. The Bible is the sole authority. It is the Word of God. Some of you may have heard, the Bible says it, I believe it, that settles it. You know, that's not accurate. Because if the Bible says it, that settles it whether or not you believe it. The Bible is the Word of God. A, autonomy of the local church. P, priesthood of the believer. B-A-P-T, two ordinances. I, individual soul liberty. S, separation of church and state. T, two offices within the church. Those are the Baptist distinctives. But have you thought about the word Calvary? It's an interesting word. If you go to the Greek, it's the word Golgotha, place of the skull. This could be called the place of the skull Baptist Church, Lansing, Michigan. Now that's not real appealing, is it? But it was at Calvary where Christ died for our sins, according to the scripture. It was at Calvary where we understand redemption and forgiveness, where love and grace and mercy come together. And we recognize that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's Calvary. And so the name of this place is a wonderful name that recognizes a terrible time when God laid on our Savior the iniquity of all of us. And we will celebrate that this morning in his given body and shed blood. So that's Calvary Baptist Church. Now, are you in 1 Timothy? All right, good. 1 Timothy was written by Paul to Timothy. Timothy was a pastor at this point, and he was pastoring a church in Ephesus. Now, I don't know how much you know about Ephesus, but Ephesus was a tough place to minister. It was a challenging work. And as you read 1 Timothy, you discover that there were false teachers, there were unfit leaders, and there were unfaithful leavers where people had left the family of God. You know, there are many dangers within the Church of Jesus Christ today. We have the church at Ephesus identified as one of the seven churches in the book of Revelation. In fact, it was the first church. And do you remember what the issue was with that first church? They'd left their first love. You know, that's a real danger in the church today. Leaving your first love. If you ever forget that this is the church of Jesus Christ, it's real easy to lose your first love. It's amidst all of that that Paul writes to Timothy. And Paul wants to come to Timothy, and he wants to help him, and he wants to come alongside him, and he wants to encourage him. And that's where we are in the scripture. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Let me begin with verse 14. You follow along in your copy of the scriptures, please. I hope to come to you soon, but I am writing these things to you so that if I delay, you may know how one ought to behave in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and buttress of truth. Paul says, I want to come to you. I want to help you. I want to come alongside you. I want to encourage you. Because ministry is tough. But if I don't, I want you to know how to behave. I want you to know what you're supposed to do. I want you to know what your focus is. I want you to recognize that this isn't all about you, Timothy. It's all about God's work among his people. Paul loved Timothy. Timothy was a child of Paul's faith. And Paul wanted Timothy to be successful. So, what did he tell him? He said, Timothy, remember what's in a name. The dangers to the church at Ephesus, false teachers, unfit leaders, they forsook their first love. May God help us to not follow that pattern. So, what's in a name? Did you notice here? That you may know how you ought to behave yourself in the household of God. Paul's not talking about a house. He's talking about a household. It's not about a place, but it's about the people. It's not about a building, but it's about brothers and sisters in Christ. This is not about property and pews. It's not about an address or architecture. It's about a community, a family. Those who are assembled together for the purpose of glorifying God and worshiping him and praising his name and shining as lights because of what he has done in their lives. This is where the family lives together. The church of the living God. The pillar and buttress of truth. But make no mistake, it is indeed the household of God. I was in your educational center on March 10th, 2020. I was here for a Council of 16 meeting for the Fellowship of Churches here in Michigan. It was a bright, sunny day. It was a great day, and we had a wonderful meeting, and Ken Floyd led us, and it was just a real encouragement to be with fellow pastors. That afternoon, I drove home. I was preparing for a leadership meeting. Our pastors and deacons were going to meet together and share and talk about where we needed to go as a church. That was the last normal day I remember, because on March 11th, we heard about a thing called COVID. COVID changed everything. And on March 15th, Sunday, March 15th, we did not gather as a church. The rules of COVID prevented us from assembling together. And at Calvary Baptist in Battle Creek, we did not regather as a church until October 4th. That was a difficult, difficult time. Now, I use that term, gather, because today we are gathered as the Church of Jesus Christ. And I found a quote during that time that I think is very interesting. It says this. Where are we? Come on. There we go. There it is. Just to be clear, The church has not been closed. This was during COVID. So it doesn't need to be reopened. We have simply stopped worshiping in our buildings for a time to protect the health and well-being of our people and communities. The church does not require a building in order to be the church. What it requires is love, compassion, and the presence of God. And you're aware that every place you are, God is. Aren't you thankful for that? I drove up from Waterford this morning. I didn't know what the roads were going to be. Salt trucks were out on the roads. I was thankful for that. And the thermometer in my car said 28 degrees. I wish it had said 34. There's a big difference in those 6 degrees in there. And there were a couple of times that I felt things get just a bit squirrely, not bad. But I was so thankful that wherever I was, God was. And wherever you are, God is. And may I also say, wherever you are, God has been. And there is nothing that surprises God. COVID didn't surprise God. State mandates didn't surprise God. When Governor Whitmer put together these state mandates for assembly, there was not a council in heaven that said, what are we going to do now? God knew, and it was all intended to strengthen us, to help us to recognize, even though we're not gathered together, we're still the church of the living God. We're still the household of faith. It's still about people. It's not about buildings. It's about the body of Jesus Christ. Now in our text, it says it's the household of God. As I was praying about this meeting, one of my prayers was this. I sure hope God shows up. I do. I hope God shows up in our lives. I hope He shows up through His word that is living, powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword. I hope God shows up in our hearts as His Spirit takes His word and applies it to our circumstances of life. I want God to show up this morning. And I want you to be able to leave this place and say, God showed up at Calvary Baptist Church as we were worshiping together. Why? Because we belong to Him, right? I'm a child of the King. With Jesus, my Savior, I'm a child of the King. Now, sometimes I don't act like I'm a child of the King. But it doesn't change that truth. It's not who you are, it's whose you are that makes the difference in our lives. You see, we belong to God. Christ is the head. We are the beloved of the body. And we are the body of Christ. Let that sink in just for a moment, will you please? Does that give you a little quicker step? Does that give you a little higher focus? Does that lift your heart a little bit as you recognize that we are together the household of God? That's the church. Sons and daughters of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But not only is the household of God, it's the church. The assembly, ecclesia, body of citizens, assembled together. For purpose, for pronouncement of God's word, and for a plan to go into all the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's us, together. And as I said earlier, there's no part-timers here. I've read through a number of church constitutions in my lifetime. In fact, I read through yours. It's an interesting constitution. But some church constitutions have what they call, I just lost the term. That ever happened to you? You ever have those senior moments? What they call inactive. How can you be inactive if you're part of the living God's church? Either is or you ain't. Now, sometimes that inactive is identified because they don't show up on Sunday. Does that make them any less active? Aren't they to serve where they are, share where they are? We are assembled together, but there are those who are not here this morning. They're still part of the church. We're identified. We're indwelt for praise, purpose, and to see the power of God at work in our lives. Saints who are growing and gathered. And we're the church of the living God. I should have told you earlier that I have one rule about sleeping in church. And that's this. When I start to preach, we've all got to be awake. And if I put you to sleep, you deserve the nap. That fair? But as we're here, we are part of the church of the living God. He's alive! Can you imagine that first Easter morning when the disciples went and Mary was left? What'd you do with my Lord? And the angel said, he's not here. He's risen as he said. My question to you is he risen in your life? And do you proclaim that today? If you're around at my funeral, one of the songs that I want at my funeral is Because He Lives, I Can Face Tomorrow. Because He Lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future. And life is worth the living just because He lives. And wherever you are in life, whatever you're doing in life, it's worth the living because He lives. We are the assembled ones of the living God. Underline that in your Bibles. Mark it in your minds. Live it out through your lives. This is indeed a recognition that we belong to a God who is alive. Can I get an amen?
Amen?
That wasn't too bad. Well done. We are the church of the living God. Now you're seeing this in your text, right? How you ought to behave in the household of God, which is the church of the living God. And then Paul writes, which is the pillar and buttress of truth. What imagery? I told you that Timothy was in Ephesus. And in Ephesus, there was a temple built to the goddess of Diana. It had 127 pillars. And when it was built, kings of surrounding nations gave to the temple. And a pillar was put up in each of these kings' names, 127 of them. They were granite. They were studded with jewels. Many were covered with gold. And it was these pillars that stood as a testimony to the false goddess Diana. And I can picture in my mind Timothy reading Paul's letter. Timothy, you are part of the household of God. You're part of the church of the living God. Timothy, it is that church that is the pillar and buttress of truth. And perhaps Timothy looked up on the hill and saw these 127 pillars that held up the temple of Diana. Pillar, buttress, supports. And what is their support? Their support is truth. Truth. That's all we have, right? That's all we have. Truth. Jesus said, sanctify them through thy word. That word is truth. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus was brought before Pilate. And Jesus said to Pilate, I came to give testimony of the truth. Pilate said, well, what's truth? Truth is what you and I have that supports our convictions as we recognize whose we are and why we're assembled together. We are assembled together for truth. When I was in vocational ministry, I used to encourage some of our folks to bring me a bulletin if they were out of town from the church they attended. And that was when bulletins were bulletins, right? Now we get it on the web. And someone brought me this bulletin. It's from Emmanuel Baptist Church in Naperville, Illinois. And those of you who've been around may remember that many times on the back page of the bulletin, this was so the secretary didn't have to do so much work. She only had 2 pages to fill with stuff. What was a little poem or a little saying or something to encourage you? I keep this in my Bible. And it simply says, truth is not negotiable. It's so easy in this day where compromise abounds to redefine the truth until we like the way it sounds. But truth is not negotiable. No, not at any cost. For when we start to alter it, to us, the truth gets lost. It may seem insignificant to change some small things, but when the truth is sacrificed, great consequence it brings. God's word is built on principles, not preferences of men. They must apply to all of life and not just now and then. If we are to be the church and be a light that shines, truth must dictate how we live and not our own designs. Why? Truth is not negotiable. No, not at any cost. For when we start to alter it, to us, the truth gets lost. Pillar and buttress of truth. You remember the challenge of the Romans? They exchanged the truth for a lie. This morning in Sunday school, we were reminded that Satan is a liar, father of lies, John chapter 8, verse 44, where Jesus said, you're acting like your father, the devil, and you don't know the truth. He's not only a liar, he's the father of lies. And you know the biggest lie was way back in the garden. And you remember what that lie was? You should be as gods, knowing good and evil. Now, we read that as a lie from Satan. And it was. But you know the real issue was this. Adam, Eve, do you want to be in charge or do you want to let God be in charge?
Amen. That's right.
You want to be a God? Or are you going to let God be God? And the sad thing is, in some of the churches, and I don't know you folks, that I have the privilege of serving in, I find a lot of people that want to be God. Oh, they may know good and evil. They may have it identified. And many times, I'm sorry to say, and I better quit going down this rabbit trail pretty quick. Many times, I'm sorry to say, they have moved convictions into preferences. You'd be as gods. But the truth is not negotiable. If we are going to fight against the wiles of the devil, what are we to put on first? The belt of truth. Pillar and buttress of truth. You see, it really is a matter of what we do with truth. Most of us know it. Most of us can identify it, but what do we do with truth? Let me just give you some suggestions. Let me encourage you to believe the truth. These come from John MacArthur, by the way. The key to originality is forgetting where you got it. I remember where I got these. Believe the truth. Memorize the truth. Thy word is I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Meditate. Think on the truth. Remember, you're not what you think you are, but what you think you are. Study the truth. Obey the truth. Defend the truth. Live out the truth in your life and proclaim the truth. Why? Because the assembly of God's people, the gathering together, are here for truth. I don't know what your community says about Calvary Baptist Church of Lansing. But I hope they say, if we want to know the truth, that's where we go. If we want to know the truth about forgiveness, that's where we go. If we want to know the truth about love, that's where we can go. If we want to know the truth about grace and mercy, we can find it at Calvary Baptist Church in Lansing. We'll find truth there. It's the pillar and buttress of truth. The Word of God is a storehouse of spiritual truth. And out of all of that, it's critical that the church of Jesus Christ, the household of God, the church of the living God, upholds and proclaims the truth of God. So, what's in a name? May I give you an acrostic? I like acrostics. May I give you an acrostic real quick? Church. What's in a name? Church is a body of Christ's caring community of saints. That's who we are. We care for one another. We share with one another. We encourage one another. We uplift one another. We forgive one another. We pray for one another. We exhort one another. That's what the church is. Head of the church is Christ. My wife has said that her husband is the head, but she's the neck that turns the head. Now, I say that in jest, but I know a lot of churches that want to be the neck, that forget that the head, focal point, is Jesus Christ. It's a place where you can find unending grace. And you know the difference between grace and mercy, don't you? Mercy is God not giving to us what we do deserve. Grace is God giving to us what we don't deserve. And the church ought to be a place of grace. It's a place of relationships where you get along one with another and where you share in each other's lives. I'm thinking if I ought to go down this road or not. I think I will. Ephesians chapter 4 says, speaking the truth in love, that we may grow up to him who is all things. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working of his hands, that he may have to give to him that needs. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to edifying. Let bitterness and wrath and anger and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And when you find out that somebody has wronged you, and you struggle getting over it, just remember how much God has gotten over in your life. You ain't so hot either. And by the way, if relationships need to be repaired, it's always your turn. The scripture says if you have aught against a brother, you go to him. You solve your problem, and you make it right. Scripture also says that if you remember that your brother has aught against you, you go to him, and you solve your problem, and you make it right. And so if you have relationship issues, it's always your turn to go and get it settled.
Amen.
You can't wait. Well, if they'd just come to me and ask my forgiveness, I'd be happy to forgive them. No. It's always your turn. That was free. It wasn't even in my notes. Church is a place that reaches the lost world. I don't know whether you noticed or not, but there are a lot of people living around here that don't know Jesus Christ as personal Savior. And we are told to go into all the world, preach the gospel, and if necessary, use words. The church is committed to love. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul. Love your neighbor as yourself. And if you want an interesting study, study the one another's of Scripture and discover how many times it tells us to love one another. And love is unconditional. Aren't you thankful for that? Because in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, God loved us. And the church holds fast to the true faith. So, here we are. Calvary Baptist Church, Lansing, Michigan. Wood Road. A place where people gather together for the work and witness and wonder of God in their lives. To celebrate what God has done is given body and shed blood, and to go into all the world and preach the gospel. But may I say to you this morning, if it's not working in here, it won't work out there. If the truth is not being lived out in here, don't expect it to be lived out there. Paul writes to Timothy. He says, Timothy, I want you to know how you ought to behave yourself. That's good information. I want to know how to behave, right? I want you to know how to behave yourself in the household of God. Why? Because it's the church of the living God, and it is the pillar and buttress of truth. And Timothy, you ought to know how to live that out in your life. Next week, we're going to see what's in a name, saints. Sometimes I'm not too saintly. But I do believe in saints. And we do have saints in the church. And we're going to study that next week. Let me give you an assignment. Read through the book of 1 Peter. 5 chapters. You can either skip today and go Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. If you've skipped all of those days, it won't take you long on Saturday to catch up. Now, I'll tell you, you will not find in the English translation the word saint in 1 Peter. But you will find the Greek hagias. Right? And I'll define that for you next week. Church of the living God. Household of God. Pillar and ground of truth. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you so much for this opportunity that we've had today to look into your word. I pray, Father, that you just show up in our lives. That you'd take your word, apply it to our hearts so that we can live it out. Live it out of our lives for your honor and your glory. Live it out in a dark world that needs to see the light. Thank you again for truth. And Father, may we follow the truth, live the truth, obey the truth, think about the truth. Because it's the truth, the one who is the way, the truth, and the life that changes our lives. And we thank you in Jesus' precious name.